So rock solid should be happening if any of the year 7 to 11 want to head out to rock solid. Now's the time. And just one further little announcement. With our recycling, as it happens, thank you so much for all of those who give your old cans and bottles and so forth. That goes to fundraising for Mission Samburu and so forth with the Kids on Sunday Work, and that's been really appreciated. Just be aware that whatever you're putting in there needs to be those 10-cent recyclable bottles or cans. Anything else is just a problem. So coffee jars and that sort of stuff goes in your recycling bin. But thank you for being a part of that. So we're going to look at our passage from Matthew chapter 6, the first four verses. Les Christensen has always loved the band Petra. And knowing how much Les loves Petra, I thought about starting the message this morning with a YouTube video of the band singing a song, God Pleaser. However, I realised that I'd only be doing it to please Les. So I've chosen not to, because I want to be a God pleaser, not a Les pleaser. So sorry, Les, but you come a very far distant second to God. Now, at this point in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus shifts focus, but he still remains on theme. What does a righteous life look like? You'll recall that Jesus begins this sermon with the Beatitudes. He suggests that as we live like this, then we will be salt and we'll be light into our world. He then suggests that we can have a righteousness that will surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees. And six times in chapter 5, six times, Jesus gives an illustration of something that the Pharisees have taught, and then how to surpass their righteousness, how to actually live by the Beatitudes, to live according to the Beatitudes. And now at the beginning of chapter 6, Jesus begins to give further advice around what living a righteous life might look like. How we live in active submission to God, what living in relationship with our Father should look like. And once again, his concern is for what's going on in here, in our heart. And far less is he concerned about our outward appearances. Rather than be a man pleaser, let's focus on being God pleasers. Rather than looking religious, let's foster our relationship with God. Let's covet the approval of God first and foremost. And the word covet simply means to have a deep and passionate desire to possess something. It's in our mind a lot. We think about it a lot. It drives us toward attaining it. It motivates us if we covet something. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus encourages his disciples to play to an audience of one, to covet only the approval of the Heavenly Father. A righteous life then is not so much a religious life that looks good to everyone else, but is one that is more concerned about how the relationship with God is going. What's happening in here? Thus Jesus gives a warning against self-promotion. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. However, as part of our human nature, we all We all want to know that we are loved, accepted, approved of, that we're liked. As little children, we want approval, we want attention. Watch me, Daddy. Look at me, Mum. Teenagers may be careful to dress, talk, and act in whatever fashion is acceptable among their peers. And as adults, we're not immune. As adults, we might be concerned about whether or what the neighbours might think if we haven't mowed the lawn. Might seem trivial, but often we're more concerned about what others are thinking about us than perhaps what God's thinking. Seeking attention from others, it's not sinful, but it can be that which distracts us from the best place to find approval from our Lord. Now, these words might even appear to contradict the words that Jesus has already spoken in this Sermon on the Mount back in Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Don't they contradict these words? The intention behind these words were that our good deeds are meant to draw attention to God, that others would praise and glorify God by our good works. The problem arises when we're trying to draw attention to ourselves for our own self-promotion, our own selfish motives. I read about a fellow who went to a concert at a beautiful old Art Deco theatre. And at the end of the concert, he noticed that there were two ushers standing very near his seat who were applauding more loudly, more rapturously, if that's a word, than everybody else in the whole place. And this man had enjoyed the concert because of the musicians and the quality of the musicians, the talent. But it thrilled him even more to see these men, these two ushers, standing there applauding so vigorously. And then he heard one of them say to the other, "Keep clapping. If we can get them to do another encore, then we'll get overtime." It appeared as though these two fellows were great music lovers. However, their fake applause was only an attempt to line their pockets. So be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. By making sure that others know of our good deeds, are we trying to get their approval? To know that we're accepted, loved? Or is God's approval enough? Is the Father's approval enough for me? When Serena Williams won Wimbledon for the first time, that was back in 2002. After her impressive victory, a reporter asked Serena if it bothered her that many of the English fans were against her. She politely replied, "No, I knew that I had far fewer supporters here, but my dad was sitting in those stands and I knew that he was cheering for me and I wanted to please him." Our Heavenly Father is watching us intently. Are we keen to please him? And so to explain a little further and to suggest how to please our Father, Jesus says, verses 2-4, "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret." For Jesus knew full well that his Father does see all things, knows all things, knows the intent of the heart. Nothing is secret to the Father. The word hypocrite refers to an actor who wears a mask. And in the theatre in Jesus' day, one actor could play several roles on the stage and simply to change roles, change masks and continue to act in a different role. But a hypocrite is, in a simpler sense, is someone who pretends to be something that in reality they are not. They espouse to be something, but their lifestyle doesn't back it up. And evidently the religious leaders of the day, who craved the praise of men, sometimes made a big show out of what they gave to the temple treasury. Funnel-like offering containers were attached to the wall, and a significant tinkling sound was made as coins were dropped in. In contrast to these exhibitionists, Jesus later praised the offering of a very poor widow who quietly dropped in her two coins. She made no show of it, but she humbly gave all that she had. And Jesus said to his disciples, "She has done so much more." Now notice that Jesus says when you give, not if you give. When? When you give to the needy. Be generous, even as your heavenly Father is generous. Love your enemies. He's already told us these things. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. If someone sues you for your tunic, give him your cloak as well. Go the extra mile. Do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. So when you give your prayer support, your time and attention, your love, your phone calls, your finances, etc., when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. This is a reference from the saying that you might have a right-hand man. You don't make a show of it to get other people's approval, because if that's what you do, then that's all you'll get, is their approval. And other people's approval can be oh so fleeting, oh so fickle. Do one thing wrong and they'll remember that, even though you've done 9 other good things. So be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Jesus therefore tells us that God does and will reward us for our acts of righteousness, for our good deeds. God does and will reward us. Verse 4 concludes, "Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." We are therefore going to be judged by the Lord according to our good deeds or otherwise here on earth. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, "If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw, his work will be shown for what it is. Because the day, when Paul mentions the day, this is judgment day, it will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames." And the context behind these words of Paul is the work of the gospel. We can add nothing to the work of the gospel. For without Christ you can do nothing. But if we work with Christ and are led by him through the prompting of the Holy Spirit and are careful to do all the things to bring him honour and praise and glory, then our works and our words will last for eternity. And we will be rewarded somehow. Now, I don't have a clue what that reward is going to look like, how it's going to play out. My personal belief is that the real reward is spending eternity with God and in experiencing his blessings and comfort and peace and joy and hope in this life, in the here and now. But if Jesus teaches that there is a reward to come, then there is a reward to come. And understanding that our God is generous to a fault, I wonder what these incredible rewards might look like. Again, I don't have a clue. But Tim Keller imagines two guys in a room who are given an assignment of folding papers for 12 hours straight. The first guy, well, he quits after 3 hours. He says, I can't stand this. This is driving me crazy. The second guy, he seems to be delighted. And he keeps working and he says, this is the greatest day of my life. This is a real joy to me. He folds papers for 12 hours straight. Not a problem. Well, Tim asks, why the difference? He goes on to suggest that the first guy is working for minimal wage, but the second guy has been promised $1 million if he stays. And so a reward can be a big motivation toward the promotion of a good attitude and faithfulness. And the Lord has promised a reward for every one of us, but he's taking note of our attitude and our faithfulness. Our greatest reward is in knowing the forgiveness of our God, of being adopted into his family as his child, and experiencing the blessings of the Holy Spirit's presence each and every day. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled, says Jesus. I hope that you want to be a God pleaser. I hope that you covet God's approval, first and foremost. Now, I want to finish with the words of that song by Petra. I'm not going to play the video, but yeah, I'm sorry, you can go home and do that. But I can only assume that when they wrote this song, they'd read this passage. Words go like this. So many voices telling me which way to go. So many choices come from those who think they know. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it only brings him death. I want to go the way that leads to life till I draw my dying breath. Don't want to be a man pleaser. I want to be a God pleaser. I just want to have the wisdom to discern the two apart. I just want to do the things that please my Father's heart. Some make a sacrifice and never let it show. Some make a point of letting everybody know. Some will live their lives as unto men, and they'll have their reward. I just want to do everything I do with all my heart unto the Lord. I just want my life to glorify his Son, to make my Father proud that I'm his child before I'm done. No need to pat me on the back or stop to shake my hand. I just want to hear my Father say, well done. Well done. We live our lives to an audience of one, and his approval matters for eternity. You need to quit today being a people pleaser. Swallow your pride, humble yourself before God and make a courageous decision for Christ. He's the only one who matters in the end. Seek his approval today and every day. Let's pray. A gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as Jesus spoke these words, there were Pharisees standing in the crowd. There were those who had made a big deal of being religious. There were those who sought the approval of their fellow man. And Father, I can only assume that the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit was bringing some conviction into their hearts. But we thank you for the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit here. And Father, we pray that you would continue to bring conviction into our hearts, that we might not be so concerned about what other people think around about us, but covet you, our Heavenly Father's approval. May that be that which drives us, motivates us, to bring you all honour and glory in our lives as we seek to live righteously for you. So we commit ourselves to you and pray for the ongoing work of your Holy Spirit within us, and that you would be glorified in our community. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And to stand and sing together our closing song.